Philippians chapter 3. Verse 10. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Now, those who are born again have had part in the resurrection, because we are children of the resurrection. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that liveth and believeth shall never die. So we are the children of the resurrection. Now we're the children of the covenant of God, because it is by the promise of the covenant that we're born again of the Spirit. God the Son sends his Spirit. He puts his Spirit within us, and by that Spirit we believe.
Amen.
You cannot believe the gospel without the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You just can't do it. And his presence in us was purchased for us by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary. And he sent him to us. By him we believe and are made new creatures in Christ Jesus. And not only that, but to some extent, we take on the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we are predestined to be perfectly conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everyone who believes the gospel is destined to be perfectly conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that begins here. We begin to take on a likeness of our Father. Natural children look like their father. Well, spiritual children take after their father. Now, he was crucified by this world. He was hated and despised by this world. His words were twisted, used against him, because he is despised and rejected of men. Now, he says here that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. Now, that's the title of my message this morning. The fellowship of his sufferings. Now, the Greek word for fellowship is koinonia, and it means a partnership. Paul said, I want to be a partner of him in his sufferings. Now, we can't avoid that. We're going to be, to some extent, partner with him in his sufferings. And that is the greatest glory that we can have in this world, is to go forth unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. Look at Hebrews 13:13. Hebrews 13:13. Now the Lord, after Israel sinned, moved the tabernacle out from among the people. And listen to verse 11. We begin our reading at verse 11. For the body of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin is burned without the camp. They take the body of those beasts out into the place of ashes, and they'd burn them there. Wherefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Out on Golgotha's mountain. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. Now, we are called upon by the truth to come out from among the religion of this world. We absolutely are. We're called upon to come out. All that free willism, every form of idolatry that there is, whether it be free willism or whatever, whether it be Buddhism, Hindu, Roman Catholicism, whatever, we are called upon to come out from among them and be separate. And and when we do that, we're a witness against this world.
Yeah.
And when we are a witness against this world, reproach falls upon us. Mm-hmm. And we're bearing his reproach, and that is the fellowship of his sufferings.
Yeah.
When we bear his reproach, when we are ostracized by our family and friends, when we're set apart, as they may say about us, well, they're good people, but they've got a crazy belief. And a lot of people say that. And as far as they're concerned, that's the truth. But we know it's not the truth. But that is, let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. Now, the disciples, James and John, I think it was, came to him, and they said they wanted to sit on either side of him in his kingdom. Look at Mark 10:35 through 45. And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, and I'm in Mark 10:35, came unto him, saying, Master, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we shall desire. And he said unto them, What would ye that I do for you? And they said unto him, Grant unto us that we should sit on thy right hand and on thy and the other on thy left hand in thy glory. But Jesus said unto them, You know not what ye ask. Can ye drink the cup which I drink of, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they said unto him, We can. And he said unto them, Ye shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of, and be baptized with the baptism with all you shall be baptized. So they said, Yeah, we can do that. And they did. They certainly did. Around about AD 44, I forget his name, seemed like it was Agrippa, put forth his hand and executed James. So he drank of the cup that the Lord drank of, that cup that Brother Jerry talked about. Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Well, James drank of that cup. And many, 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 many more of the Lord's people have drank of that cup that this world gives us because They hated both the Lord Jesus Christ and His Father and His followers. Well, I'm having to stick a little closer to my notes than I like to do. So just bear with me. And we'll try to... But I want to bring this out if I can. Look at 2 Corinthians 1:5. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, now that which the sufferings of Christ produced abounded in the apostles, and it does abound in us, which is justification, sanctification, everything that the Lord obtained for us in His death, that abounds in us. We're justified by His blood. We're sanctified by His person, and so on. But the sufferings of Christ also abounded in the apostles in their sufferings. They were rejected of this world. They were hated of this world. They were despised of this world, as the Lord Jesus was, and as those who are faithful to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ and are faithful to His word and His doctrine will be in this world. Being faithful to the image and doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ will earn us rejection by this world. Now the world, the religious world, they can walk along hand in hand, arm in arm, fellowship, no matter what they call themselves, in the name of brotherhood and universal love, they can walk together, but that's not pleasing to God. That's just not pleasing to God. It's pleasing to God when we are faithful witnesses. Ye are my witnesses. Look at Acts chapter 9, verse 4. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Well, we know that Saul persecuted Christ at that time, not personally, because Christ was seated at the right hand of the Father at that particular time, but Saul was persecuting Christ in his members. He was persecuting Christ in his church, in his body. And that body was bearing the reproach of the Lord Jesus Christ and were partakers in his sufferings by the afflictions that Paul and the Pharisees and those folks were taking out against them. So we're called upon, we are absolutely called upon to be partakers of His sufferings. You know the story that Brother Jim tells about being surrounded by a group of freewheelers who hemmed him up in a tool shed and demanded of him his faith. And when he told them what it was, to his glory, they hung their head as though he were some kind of a mental case and walked away and withdrew fellowship, wouldn't have anything more to do with him. Well, that is bearing the reproach of our Lord Jesus Christ. When we bear faithful witness to the truth of the gospel, we will earn for ourselves the reproach and the hatred of this world, and that's bearing the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, bearing his reproach. Look at look at Romans 8:17. Now, I don't want to be all bad news. Of course, this is not bad news. That whenever God counts us worthy and puts us in a position to where that we can bear witness to the truth. Isn't that wonderful? That God would count us worthy and put us in that place where that we can bear witness to the truth against the enemies of the gospel. But look at Romans 8:17. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Well, there are sufferings here as we are rejected by family and friends and by this world, by this religious world, and when we're called heretics and set aside. But there's coming a glory that we can't conceive of. When we're made like unto, when our vile body is changed and made like unto his own glorious body, by that power wherewith he is able to subdue all things unto himself. We're gonna have a body that knows nothing about a broke leg or a lung cancer or the hair that gets gray and falls out. We're gonna have a eternal. We are going to have a body that is prepared for eternity. And we're going to spend eternity. I guess that's a misnomer. You can't spend something that's eternal, but we're going to be in eternity in a perfect body. And we're going to be doing that which we delight in, and that is worshiping and fellowshipping with our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
James said, think it not strange whenever you when you fall into... We better read that. James 1. Turn to James. James, the servant of... James 1:1. James, the servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. Brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, and patience experience, and so on. But patience must have her perfect work. Now, if I go out here and jump off a rock cliff and break my arm, now that's not suffering for Christ. Or if I, whatever I do, it's not suffering for Christ. But our sufferings, all of our sufferings, all of our mishaps for the children of God are sent to us by the purpose of God.
Amen.
Now, for the children of God, there is nothing judgmental or penal in our sufferings. All the judgment, all the penalty was absorbed when the Lord Jesus Christ died for our sins. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. All the cursedness of our sins was put away when the Lord Jesus was made sin for us. But we need discipline. We need to be disciplined that we can grow into mature children.
Amen.
and not remain babes forever.
Yeah.
And so the Lord sends afflictions, trials, bitter heartaches and sorrows our way in order to temper us, to cause us to grow in grace and our trust in Him, mm-hmm. our confidence in our faith in Him, and to wean us, because we naturally love this world. We naturally love sin. We are evil in ourselves. Now the Lord's put all that to death in us, but as we walk through this world, we need to mature, and God knows how to do that. He knows how to grow us up. Put behind all this. Paul said, when I was a child, I thought as a child, I understood as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. There's time to grow up. And be conformed more and more and more toward the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And to be less and less and less conformed to this world. If we suffer with it, let's read on there just a little bit. Romans 8:17. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we shall be also glorified together. Now, if we're one of His children, we're going to suffer with Him. We're going to drink that cup.
Yeah.
We're going to go forth unto Him bearing His reproach. That's just going to be. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. Now it's talking about the creation and our body. For the creature itself was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of Him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth together in pain unto now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body.
Amen.
Now, if our body has been cremated, turned to dust, and scattered over 40 acres of the ocean, God knows where that is. He knows where it's at. He'll gather up what He will of it, and He'll reconstitute it, or however He does that. And I don't pretend to know. But He'll bring out of it that spiritual body. Paul said that corn of wheat that you sow is not that you receive, but it has a body likened to it. So somehow there will be a connection there. It'll still be us. It'll be we ourselves and not somebody else, only in a spiritual and a glorified body. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope, for what a man seeth, why doth he yet wait for? But if we hope for that what we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Well, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. He believed the promise of God, and he patiently waited for it. And he was seeking a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He looked for that glory that we're going to have in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he was looking for. And that's what we're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
Look at 2 Timothy 2:12. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also deny us. He said, he that's ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the power of his Father and of the in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. Those who will not stand for or preach, and this is not only for, but it's particularly for preachers who will not preach the doctrine of the gospel. They will not preach it because they're ashamed of it. They know it's unpopular. They know it will earn them the rejection of the world and of their congregation, and so they won't do it. They don't believe it. Men who believe the gospel will absolutely preach the gospel, and they'll stand for the gospel. A man who won't preach it, even though he probably, you know, there's a lot of people, a lot of preachers say, well, I believe that. But now you can't preach that. Well, they don't believe it. They don't believe it. They don't truly believe it in their heart. If they did, they'd preach it. All right, let's move on. Look at John 15:18. John 15:18. Our Lord says here, in beginning in verse 16, you've not chosen me, but I've chosen you. Well, is that particular to just the apostles? No. He says the same thing to us. You've not chosen me, but I've chosen you. Every believer was chosen in the Lord Jesus Christ before the foundation of the world. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go forth and that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. These things have I commanded you, that you love one another. If the world hates you, you know it's going to. He knew it was going to. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Now, why did the world hate them? It's because of their connection with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because they believe his doctrine was faithful, his doctrine, and was faithful to his testimony. That's why the world hated them. If you were of the world would love his own, but because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they'll also persecute you. You'll drink of my cup, and you'll be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with. If they have kept my sayings, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they have not known him that sent me. Now, as religious as this world is, and you know how religious they are, and how sanctimonious some of them can appear, if they despise the doctrine of Christ, it's because they do not have Christ. They don't know Christ. those who know the Father love the Lord Jesus Christ and His doctrine. Look at 2 John. Well, yeah, let's look at 2 John chapter, verse 9. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. How plain is the scripture? It's very clear, isn't it? If you don't want the doctrine of Christ, you're none of His. If you can get along with this world religiously, walk hand in hand with this world, you're none of His. Whosoever transgresseth and abides not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed, for he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. Now look on over at chapter 3. Third John. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee. Well, how does a truth get to be in anybody that's by nature a liar? And that's what we're all by nature. Well, it's by this God putting in us the spirit of truth, whom this world cannot receive. He puts the truth in us, and therefore that's what bears witness to our spirit that it is the truth when we hear the truth preached. I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. They that worship God must worship Him in spirit and in truth. It doesn't matter how eloquent the preacher is or what kind of a great entertainer he is. If he's not preaching the truth, he's a servant of Satan. He's a deceiver. Look at 1 John 3:1. Let's go turn back to 1 John. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed on us. That is a magnificent statement. What manner? The same apostle said, and spoke by the Holy Spirit, and said that the Father has loved the election of grace even as He has loved our Lord Jesus Christ. John 17:23. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Look at John 16:2. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service. Now, this religious world would shut us down. They put this church out of business, close those doors, and if they could, the gospel would never be preached here again.
Yeah.
Or any of the Sovereign Grace churches or churches that are faithful to the truth of the gospel. This religious world, the Jimmy Swaggerts and all of the other people of this world, and Graham and all his followers, they put us out of business.
Yeah, they would. If they could.
And they'd think that they were doing God's service. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the eyes of them that believe not, lest the glorious light of the Son of God should shine unto them. That's what's happened to them. The God of this world has blinded their eyes by what's he done it by? By false religion. People who have already received another gospel and another Jesus, except it be by divine intervention, they cannot receive the Lord Jesus Christ in his truth. They've already received something else. When we left Arminianism, one lady asked us, said, "Well, is all that important?" Well, let's just all hug one another and walk along and love one another and get along with one another. Well, how can we walk together except we be agreed?
See?
You can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's important. And they're going to find out how important when the Lord Jesus Christ comes.
Amen.
There are some instances of sufferings of the people of God in the Old Testament. Joseph, hated of his brother, cast into a pit, sold into slavery in Egypt, put in jail. Can you imagine all that? Look at that from his point of view. Can you imagine how he must have felt when he was sold and put in slavery and all those things, how dark his aspect was? He must have had faith. He must have believed God. Because he didn't throw up his hand and say, "Well, I'll just go along with this party." No, he maintained his integrity before the Lord.
Yes, he did.
He refused the riches of this world, and he refused to go along with Potiphar's wife and this and that. Every way he was tried, he maintained his integrity toward the Lord. He believed God.
Yeah. Amen.
And then, let's turn to Jeremiah. Look at Jeremiah chapter 38. Jeremiah 38. Now, Jeremiah, this was during the reign of Zedekiah, and just before the fall of Jerusalem. And Jeremiah had preached the truth of what was coming, and this is what occurred. Let's begin our reading at verse 5. And Zedekiah said, "Behold, he is in your hand." Now these were some false prophets and some of the governors of the land who had come and told the king about Jeremiah and what he was saying. He was telling them that this city is going to fall, and you're going to be taken captive by the king of Babylon, and so on and so forth, and said what you need to do is go along with him and that'll be your life. And they said, well, he makes the hands, he weakens the hands of the men of war, and he makes the people dejected, and he's working against us with his testimony. He weakens the people. Mm-hmm. So they told the king, you need to do something about him. Then King Zedekiah said, behold, he is in your hand, for the king is not he that can do anything against you. Then they took Jeremiah and cast him into the dungeon in Malchiah, the son of Hamilech, that was in the court of the prison, and they let down Jeremiah by cords in the dungeon where there was no water but mire, and so Jeremiah sunk in the mire. Now he had been faithful to the word of the Lord to them. He had told them the truth. And so they threw him, they let him down into this horrible pit, which is full of mire, and he sank up in the mire. Well, there was no food down there. There was no water down there except just the mud. Now, Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, one of the eunuchs, which was in the king's house, heard that they had put Jeremiah in the dungeon. The king then said in the gate of Benjamin, Ebed-Melech went forth out of the king's house and spake to the king, saying, my lord the king, these men have done evil in all that they have done. So Jeremiah the prophet whom they have cast into the dungeon, and he is like to die for hunger, for the place where he is, or in the place where he is, for there is no more bread in the city. And the king commanded Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian, saying, take from thence 30 men with thee, and take up Jeremiah out of the pit of the dungeon before he died. So Jeremiah was faithful to the word of the Lord, despised of this world for it, put down in that dungeon, but the Lord didn't leave him there. He brought him up out of the dungeon. A couple of more examples. Look at Hebrews 11. We'll begin reading at verse 31. Let's begin reading at verse 30. Hebrews 11:30. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. So there are great victories in faith as well as severe trials. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I say more? So that tells us that our natural lives can be put in danger. I mean, all these things tell us that our natural lives can be put in danger. Our property, our families, because of our faith. What shall I say more? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah and of David and also of Samson, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, whose women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Now the Lord instructed us, sit down and count the cost before we embark on a journey. Sit down and count the cost. Look at what you may be called upon to suffer, and don't go into it blind. Now this free will world would say, oh, there's everything's free, everything will be fine. It's a way of prosperity and great reward. That's not true. That's not true. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder. Now, they say, a Jewish legend has it, that Isaiah the prophet was sawn in two. They were stoned, we know that Stephen was, and many more. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder. They were tempted, they were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in the mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. All these, having obtained the good report through faith, received not the promises. God having provided some better things for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Amen. So, this is a suffering way. It's been a trail of blood, and it will be. And it is, even in some parts of the world, it is even now. But it is the greatest honor and glory that can happen to a mortal man. And you might think, well, Alan, you're talking big now. And I'll confess that if I faced anything like that, God would have to give me grace. But He is faithful. I know I'm weak. But my confidence is not in me. It's in Him. I think we saw some of that persecution right here. Even the time that our windows were broken and the church house was egged. Some of the thievery that's went on around here and so on. Partially because, if not altogether, because of what we believe. Of course, there's other churches too that are not faithful to the testimony of the Scripture that have endured these things. Well, may God bless you.